Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey, I'm Alan McGuire.
And I'm Jean Sutton.
And this is Roast Chestnuts, a podcast about made-for-TV Christmas movies.
And today we're discussing the Christmas Festival of Ice from 2017 with Claire Beck.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Can I say Merry Christmas? Is it too early?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy Christmas.
Thanks.
This is our fourth episode. It's the first time I've said it.
Was that a very pointed Happy Christmas? Because you say Happy Christmas instead of Merry Christmas.
No, I just didn't want to repeat exactly what you said back.
You just wanted to be inclusive for people who say both.
Yeah, I didn't want to say Happy like New Year yet. We're not there yet.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I've no strong preference for Happy or Merry.
No, me neither. I think it's like Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, but also just like be cheerful and do whatever. It's grand.
I never thought about this.
Yeah.
I just say whichever.
Take out my noisy earrings. Sorry, please excuse me. Jingling everywhere. Jingle belling all over
Jingles.
The place. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So tell me, November, Alan, what's with the new Twitter handle?
I do that every November.
Okay.
Because you have to have a Halloween handle and a Christmas handle.
Yes.
So just to fill the space in between, I do November Alan. And it's kind of like November Rain as well, which is why I have as my header picture on Twitter is the guy diving through the cake in November Rain.
Fantastic.
So,
do you want to tell the listeners your Twitter handle in case they're not following you already?
Oh, they're at the end. And if they definitely are. If they're listening to this, they probably are.
We this plug is quite niche. Every non-profitable avenue of our careers.
It's mostly plugs. It's like 20 minutes of discussion, then 40 minutes of plugs. So,
like a Late Late Show interview.
Yeah.
So am I allowed to say that, Alan?
You can say that.
Okay.
That's fine.
I got told before the podcast started about libelous things.
Oh, yeah. Don't say libelous. Yeah.
Okay.
So this film is about a character called Emma Parker.
Yeah.
Parkers.
Is it Parkers?
Yeah, it's Parkers. That's what I wrote down, and that is what it is.
But the sign said Parker and Parker Law Firm.
Well, then you're right. So Emma Parkers is about to find out whether or not she passed the bar. Mm-hmm. That's a law exam in America. And she is walking through town one day and she picks up a cup of coffee with her friend because coffee's her personality. She mm-hmm. loves coffee. She's one of those people.
She's very picky about her coffee.
Only gets it from one place in a
very
small town.
Even though it's the furthest away.
Yeah. So you just know she's passionate from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And she works too much as well. We get that pretty much. She's busy. It's lunchtime. She can only take a certain amount of time off. So she is walking through the square and realizes the Christmas Festival of Ice Sculpture in the town isn't happening this year. And she decides to do something about it. And that's basically the gist is a law student, former law student, future lawyer, gets involved in the town council organisational and decides to hold a fundraiser and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, we're going to go through the movie now.
Exciting.
So we learned very early on that she loves Christmas, which is important.
She very much loves Christmas. She's been away for 3 years studying, Alan. Three whole years. And she comes back. She's full of the joys of Christmas.
Ready to do a
festival. And the best coffee in town.
Yes.
It's very cold, but neither of the women are wearing hats, which irked me from the get-go. But I put aside the irkedness mm-hmm. because this movie is a masterclass in feminist film. It passes the Bechdel test twice in the first 3 minutes.
Does it?
It does.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're having their conversation. We learn through some very, very natural dialogue, very organic, nothing is scripted or rehearsed at all.
Oh yeah.
In the first couple of minutes about Emma, she's talking about, you know, she's home, she's working in the law firm, they're talking about how much they love Christmas, they have a nice chat, they discuss coffee, they discuss several things. Mm. They don't talk about boys. And then she goes into work, she goes back to work, she has a conversation with her mum about general law and work things, and they go through their schedule, and I think they might make dinner plans. Again, no talking about boys.
That's right.
In the first 3 minutes. So there you go.
I feel like maybe most of these films might pass that because they all have a work subplot.
Yeah. These women love going into the office. Like, you don't ever have a Christmas TV movie where someone wakes up and is like, fuck this, I'm calling in sick. I'm going to pretend I've got an abnormal smear and I'm upset about it. Like, you never get like the type of woman I have in my life.
Yeah.
That I am in my life.
They're always like on the verge of a promotion.
Yeah. Or... this one also differs in that she's got short hair.
Yes.
And they very rarely have short hair. They all, and also women in law, because I did law in college and a lot of people, my peers, are now working in law firms, and they all have what I call pony hair, mm-hmm. in that they have really long hair and it's like a kind of a status symbol. They'll probably give out to me for saying this, but like very few of them have cut their hair in the past few years. They all have long hair. It's a big deal. I don't know, is it control or something? I'm psychoanalyzing people who I haven't talked to in 5 years.
Maybe for Emma, because her hair is impossibly shiny. Maybe it's so healthy and glossy that when it gets long, it's too heavy for her head. So she has to kind of, she's like, oh God, I'm like.
I also looked at the actress's Instagram and I went back a year mm-hmm. when this was shot. And she used the box dye L'Oreal Preference on Instagram.
Wow.
So, you know, everyone attacks box dye, but I'm like, fuck it, life's too short.
Did she though? I mean, Cheryl Cole allegedly uses box dye and loads of people with amazing and possibly glossy hair allegedly use, but they're like, oh, promoting L'Oreal. It's like, you definitely.
This woman definitely wasn't promoting anything on her Instagram. She's a Hallmark actress.
Fair.
Sorry if she's listening.
I reckon they have very specific influence over very specific pockets of like Midwestern American women. That like Danica McKellar or like someone like that, or Lacey Chabert. Influence something.
Isn't Jennifer Garner like their queen?
That's true.
Isn't that the thing?
But Jennifer
when
Garner
she's in a magazine,
she's
she
too
sells.
Big for influencing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She makes movies like these for the big screen, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's pretty much in the beginning. The redhead, though, I know it passes the Bechdel test, as you said, but her red hair kind of symbolizes her personality and that she's the friend who works in the cafe and she doesn't really get her own subplot.
Yeah, she's not really, we don't really delve too much into that character. There's also a very brief thing where the love interest's friend, whose name I didn't get, he was kind of boring.
Oh, Lonnie.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't have sworn to it, but yeah. But they have a brief moment of maybe like, oh, maybe these two are interested in each other. That's literally all we learn about them. She works in the cafe. There's something to do with maybe working or volunteering at a school. Mm-hmm. She may or may not be into
Lonnie.
Nick's friend, who's apparently called Lonnie. This is new information to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't really go much further into that.
Lonnie, okay, so Emma goes to a Christmas tree place and she meets a friendly Christmas tree seller.
And she's going around smelling the trees.
Yeah.
Like a totally normal
person.
She
really likes Christmas.
Yeah. She does.
And she finds a nice, really nice ice sculpture there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christmas tree seller says it was made by his brother. And he's kind of weird about his brother.
Yeah. He's weird, this guy.
He's kind of generally
a little bit
weird.
Nick?
Yeah. Of course, it's a Christmas movie. Of course he's called Nick.
But then Lonnie turns up and I assumed Lonnie was first a brother.
Yes.
And then I assumed that he was going to be like a love rival because he was so much more charming and like conventionally handsome.
That's not what this film is about.
No.
This film is about Emma and Christmas and women going after what they want or something.
A lower paying job.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
The brother thing becomes a subplot later on.
Yeah.
Like, does he exist? All this sort of stuff. So that's weird. That was unnecessary, I felt. This act of, like, hiding. I just didn't really... I was immediately like, what the fuck is Nick at? He's already...
He's an habitual liar.
Weird.
So,
yeah. But
then he's lying from the get-go.
But we kind of find out then that it is because... I was like, sorry, because I know the music has gone from very jolly and moving the plot along and we know that everything's happening and there is a montage and it's all jolly. Then the sad music comes in and it turns out that him and his ex used to sculpt together. But like, I don't know, compared, I don't think ice sculpting is a job, but maybe, I don't know. But they were like really, really into it. And then one day she was just gone. She just left him. And he was so crushed by this that he didn't want to sculpt again.
It can be a job if you're on the wedding fair circuit, if you're a vendor.
Maybe, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like the tour dean of ice sculpting.
Yeah.
So.
The Midwest.
Yeah. This film is one of those things I love in these films where they take some weird little side hobby and make it into the most important thing in the world for everybody, where everybody's like, well, you know, the famous ice sculptors, obviously. You've heard of, like, Joe Ice Sculpt. Joe and Tina Ice Sculpt, the most famous ice sculptors in the world.
I absolutely loved as well, though, that there... I won't jump ahead and spoil the ending for everyone listening who's definitely going to... But there's a thing, she's like, me and my dad, like, we used to, like, sculpt ever since I was a little girl. And it's like, maybe... encourage your child to pursue a fine art degree or like go to some sort of sculpting school. Don't just be like, maybe being a professional ice sculptor is how you're going to follow your dreams, or like just sculpting every Christmas. It just seems like a weird waste of her talents because she is really, really good at sculpting ice.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's other things you can sculpt that are more long lasting, I suppose.
Yeah, you'd think she would have some like non-seasonal hobbies as well.
Also, her parents, we meet her parents. Her parents are super sound in it. Mm-hmm. And that was another kind of plot device that didn't really work for me because she's like,
parents are usually hiding.
No, it was more that she was hiding from her mum that she was doing the competition because she thought her mum would be upset, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know if she wants to be a lawyer, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, like she says to her, she comes clean. She's like, there's something I have to tell you. I've been sculpting. And she's like, why would you not tell me this? I think you're really good at it and you enjoy it. And you're like, you know, and then like, again, I don't know how much we give away. We won't give away the thing with the...
No, well, we'll work through it. So we'll get to it. Yeah.
But okay, cool.
Just in terms of sculptures following their dreams, the time traveler's wife is really good on sculpture as a career.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
In the book, the movie's a mess.
The movie is a mess.
The movie is like I appreciate Eric Bana on aesthetic level, but... on a career choice level, he's made a lot of turkeys. And that one, they just shouldn't have adapted it. That should have been an Amazon show or something. But yeah, the book's really good. She becomes a sculptor in it and does like big birds and stuff. But also, which is very honest on the half of Audrey Niffenberger, I think that's her name, the writer, he also uses time traveling skills to win the lotto. Mm-hmm. So they buy a big house and that's how her art career is possible.
He does a lot of weird, dodgy stuff.
Visiting her as a child. But I guess he can't.
Sorry, if you could time travel, you wouldn't go back and get lotto numbers.
Oh no, I would. But what he also does is go back to his himself as a teenager, where they jerk each other off. Himself, he jerks himself off, and he jerks himself off as teens. So that's like that happens a lot in that book.
Yeah, do you remember it was like a big romantic book, and then you'd be reading it. I had to read it twice. I had to read it twice before I realized. Oh, it's actually an interesting book. The first time I read it, I was like, what the fuck. Yeah. Then I liked it. But anyway, yeah, that's a sculpture and is a career book. And also Meryl Streep is married to a sculptor.
Is she?
Oh my God, do you know how Meryl Streep met her husband? So she was dating an actor, I forget his name, and this is really insulting to him because he was a great actor. And he died of in the 70s or 80s and she nursed him as he died. He was in Dog Day Afternoon and stuff.
Okay.
And they were going out for a few years. And then she wanted to sublet in New York, I think in Greenwich. And her brothers, a friend of her brother's had a place up. So she moved in there and they started exchanging letters. And then when he came back to Greenwich, they started going out and they married in a matter of months.
Aww.
And she's been with him ever since. And they had those three actor daughters. And yeah, he's a sculptor.
Was it Mamie Johnson?
Mamie Gummer,
yeah.
Yeah, that's her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so does a lot of guest spots on TV. But yeah, that's sculpturing is an actual career choice you can make, I guess. That's career guidance with Jean. Be it marry an actress or win the lotto.
My wife used to share a house with a sculptor and he had like a giant studio. I think I've thought about this before. The weird place she lived in Cork where there was like six houses in the middle of a farm and a giant sculpting studio, and it was also a helicopter school and a horse riding school.
Wow.
And a working dairy farm. It was a really weird
place.
It's
like
place.
A really niche Australian dramas that have all come together.
It was like so many plot points you could have there. But like the helicopters would be taking off outside her bedroom window every Saturday because people were learning, and it takes them forever to get off the ground.
I fucking hate to be sleeping beside a helicopter pad where people were learning.
It was annoying, but it was very cool watching helicopters take off
one
day as well.
I would love it.
Yeah, I like the morning sheet.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, back to this. So
that's our sculpture in history.
She is at the Christmas tree place, and after she leaves, we find out about Nick's breakup with Tara, and he's really down about it. And then he finds out that she's putting together a fundraiser for the Christmas Festival of Ice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because apparently logistical concerns don't exist in Hallmark movies. She goes, this guy, the lovely jolly counsellor. Now, he was lovely and jolly.
That was another thing. You thought he was going to be a dickhead.
You thought he was going to be a dick just because.
But he turned out to be sound as well.
He turned out to be super sound because everybody is sound because it's Christmas in the lovely village. And except for Tara, apparently. Maybe that's why she left. She just wasn't sound enough.
Yeah, maybe she got railroaded.
So he was lovely, but he was kind of saying, oh, we had to cancel it. We need 20 grand. They have a bit of back and forth. She says she will try and raise 15. But it was just like, there was no sort of thing of, okay, so are we going to keep this big plot of empty space in the middle of the town empty just in case? Are there no insurance concerns? There's obviously no, what's that person that has to go in and before the festival and like check that everything's for the insurance and everything.
Okay.
It's a real job. That I can't think of it. Yeah. So that person who has to go in and go, oh, what if this happened and what if that and what if this, and kind of make sure that none of those things. Apparently that doesn't happen in Hallmark Land.
No. I'm not sure what would cost 20,000 out of what we see of the festival. Is it ice?
Yeah, apparently like ice is...
Chisels.
But they all have their own tools.
They do have
their
own tools.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I don't know where the 20 G's is coming from, but he was wearing a very, very nice winter coat. So
he seemed like a nice local rep. She then starts hiding all this from her mom that she's doing it. Like she's looking at her phone.
For no good reason.
Because it's a small law firm. It's not a...
Yeah.
It's not one of the big four or five or how many they have. But yeah, so she's looking at her phone and her mum wants to schedule a work trip. And she's like, oh, do I have to go? And the mum is being real nice. She goes, you worked on this case. You should be the one who leads this deposition. And she's really like just unnecessarily being cagey. She just tells her mom, it's only two of you in the office. She's going to find out from someone down the street.
Yeah, and she told the dad as well. Like, and I assume it's a small town. Also, it's weird that her and What's His Chops don't already know each other because it seems like a really small town. So it's weird that they just bumped into each other. But anyway, Hallmark rules. It's fine.
Because, he has a big established tree farm outside of town, so.
Yeah, and she used to go there when she was a kid and get candy canes and blah, blah, blah. Mm. Like, it's, anyway, Hallmark world. It's fine.
Yeah, totally it's fine. Yeah.
She goes hunting then for the secret brother for the Festival of Ice with her redhead friend and then finds out Nick's a liar. Like, this is revealed pretty early on.
Yeah, and she makes the, a lot of the things you think will be, like, endgame stuff happens about halfway through.
Yeah. So Nick has to, like, reveal why he lied, and he doesn't really explain it adequately.
No.
I think there was some sort of like, again, like the music changed. So you knew like someone was going to say something profound. And it was, he said something like, oh, it's just easier. You know, the antisocial brother, if he's the one that's blah, blah, blah. And it's like, is this like a split personality situation? Do you need help?
Oh, God.
Or is it just that you, I think he was just so crushed because he'd found his one true love and they were sculpting together and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's just like a little wounded puppy. It's, you know, but she...
Making up a sibling, though, is weird.
It is a bit weird.
It is, yeah.
I'm a bit... run.
But look, I mean, Emma is a strong, independent woman. She's not overly concerned with what happens with Nick. She's all about sorting out her career, sorting out everything. He's like a side project. He doesn't even really feature. Like, she's not that bothered, is she? Let's be honest.
She cares more about her insecurity around her career choice.
Yes.
Than she does about Nick possibly having weird... tendencies with the truth.
Yeah. Also, she is really kind of, I think that she's saying that, you know, the ice sculpting contest, it's a family tradition. Like, I think she just wants to win it because when she goes to all the trouble, she raises all of the money and lo and behold, like not even the day before, on the morning of when the festival's about to be open, she's like, here, Tomo, I'm after raising that 20 grand. He's like, amazing. The ice sculpture festival is happening. And then all this ice just appears, which apparently just didn't need to be pre-ordered or anything. But when her dad kind of finds out that, you know, Nick is looking for a partner for the thing, and her dad hears this and then goes, just got a bit of work on, so I'm not going to be able to do it. And she's like, okay, cool. And just goes to your man, here, do you want to be partners? She doesn't really care that it was a family tradition. She's just like, her eyes on the prize. Yeah. She wants to win it. And fair play to her.
She's like a politician's son or daughter taking the seat. Being like, oh, it's tradition, but it's also like, handy expenses there. Free petrol for the next 5-6 years. There's also an anonymous donor subplot, which isn't like nobody cares about.
No.
So 10K comes in and they fund it.
And they kind of like try and shove it in, don't they? They're like, oh, maybe it was that guy that blah, blah.
The
and then
man.
It's like put to be the Iceman.
Yeah, he was in it for like a minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that like that the funded plot line nobody really cares about.
Yeah. There's also like a subplot about like power tools versus hand tools.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Which, yeah, they just forget about.
But once
they end up using
again,
both.
The music's so jolly and it's moving
it's
along.
It's real scary.
And it's very Christmassy.
When you see them handling chainsaws, though.
Yeah.
And you're just like swinging them.
Oh,
like
and
she's wearing like a wool coat.
She accidentally
as well.
almost wrecks the sculpture as well. I'm not sure she was wearing adequate safety gloves. I'm just going to throw that out there.
And also, like, you wouldn't be able to get much movement in like a wool coat or a regatta type coat.
They weren't
like,
wearing goggles for much of that either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, ice chip in the eye. Not a good way to start your Christmas.
Yeah. It's just a lot of very convenient things happen for her in this. A, she doesn't get ice chips in the eye. B, she gets out of going to the capital trip with her mother because her mother
needs her to go and set up the thing, the trust fund
the endowment thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she doesn't actually have to lie to her mother to get out of the trip, which is super convenient for her.
I know. I love when that happens.
If you just wait long enough, lying of omission, something like, just clear itself up.
Yeah, like I complain about so much in my life, but then actually I'm like, I've got a guardian angel because I don't get caught doing loads of stuff.
Do you mean like when you've agreed to do something and you really, really can't be bothered, but you've agreed to and you're like, oh, I have to go, and then your phone rings and it's like, I'm so sorry, I'm stuck in work, can we cancel? And you're like, oh, the bra's coming off, the feet are going up, I'm not going anywhere.
I don't have to do an hour long coffee with someone I barely know. Mm-hmm. Like, I love when that's cancelled. I love when stuff works out. Yeah, so I was really happy for when that happened. And also the endowment thing, like, why did it have to be done on one day before Christmas? Like, obviously, if it's, would it not come in the next year? I don't know. I found
my
that.
Theory was that the woman, it was her husband who had been the teacher in the school or whatever. Yeah. My theory is Christmas triggers her massive gambling problem, and the money would have been all gone by New Year's if she didn't get it locked down into the trust fund.
That's a movie I'd watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Somebody getting rid of their money for charitable purposes.
Festival of Ice power.
Brewster's Millions too. Festival of Ice. Yeah.
Yeah. So then at the end, they have the festival. They have the money. She enters the competition, which I thought was a bit, you know, yeah, as you said, like she wants to win. It was a bit egotistical.
It was an extreme shock to me when the person who raised all of the money for the ice sculpting competition won the ice sculpting competition. Could you believe that that happened?
The quizmaster wins the raffle.
Oh my God. That what happened, a shock. Once
us.
In Father's Head.
On Father's Head and at the Waterford Writers Weekend last week, where Ricochet's team won the Oh My God, What a Complete Ashton quiz. They came first, and he's the organiser of the festival. He did come over and apologise to us afterwards.
He's like, I'm sorry, I have such an in-depth knowledge of the books.
He's like, I'm sorry, we won.
I found out recently a team I was on, we came joined first and we lost at the tiebreaker round in a quiz, but we didn't come joined first at all. The person marking the questions just hated the other team. And they'd put like questions on it, like they added in questions that we were meant to get. Like there was one about Natalie and Brulia's Torn, which I didn't get, and it's really funny because like I think I've said this on another podcast, I skipped my friend's book launch to go see Natalie and Brulia, and like we haven't really spoken properly since because I just sent her a message. I was like, I'm after spending 90 euro on Natalie and Brulia, fuck it, I'm going, see ya. And it was just like, it was a really good quiz thing because we thought we were real clever and we're like, oh my God, we're doing really well. And then afterwards she's like, I just hate that crowd.
Oh my God.
And we fucked up on the chances we'd been passed as well. Yeah, Natalie and Brulia's Torn, I don't think it got to number one. I think that was the question. But it's never been out of the top 500 or 200 or something.
Really?
It's like 20 years since Natalie and Brulia's Torn. It's celebrating an anniversary. I follow her on Instagram and
it's
I read it late.
21 years now. Is it 20? Yeah. 21, yeah.
But it's got loads of stats about
it. No, it's not. It's like seven. It's definitely no more than 7 years. Next time.
Yeah.
Podcast about Torn.
Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas is already back inside the top 100.
So. Yeah.
She has risen. She's been hibernating all year on a bed of money. Mm-hmm. And now she's awake and she's going to put on her Christmas jumper and she's going to prance around with us.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people do what I did, which on like the 1st of November, I have like a little mini Christmas and then put it away again till December.
Oh.
So I went to Costa and got like the gingerbread latte and the turkey and cranberry thing and a gingerbread cake and listened to Sufjan. And then November 2nd, gone again. Just get it out of your system.
The Marks and Spencer sandwiches are really good as well.
Yeah.
They do a good vegan one. They do a good Christmas. I went to the Marks and Spencer's Christmas food launch in London last year in like September and it was very, very good.
Are people just like dripping sauces slowly on things just at
stations?
You're
not allowed to eat meat because the meat's been out since dawn. Because I arrived in and I saw all these
turkeys. You're like, oh, class.
And
you're like, no,
and they were
don't
like,
do
yeah,
it.
Don't eat that.
Three people died here last year. We've been warned.
And I was like, I'll eat the meat, like, I'll sign something. Because like I've definitely eaten stuff that hasn't been in the fridge properly, you know.
Oh yeah, we all have.
Yeah. Well, I've survived. I've lived. The girl who lived. But yeah, I went to that last year and I had loads of the sandwiches and stuff. It was really, really good. I've been listening to Christmas songs for a while. I listened to a few on the way in here.
No.
I find them really cozy and nice, and they just remind me of excellent films and Netflix. I'm doing up my queue of Christmas films.
No, you see, I'm just sad that the Halloween period, like, I love Halloween so much.
Oh, by the way, it's November 3rd as we're recording this.
Oh, yeah, we're recording this November 3rd, and people are already like, boom, Christmas. I'm like, no, let me have my, I haven't taken down my Halloween decorations.
What did you dress up as for Halloween, though?
So, on Halloween night, I didn't actually go out, so I sat at home in my skeleton costume and just, like, watched, because I watched something scary. Oh, I was watching that Haunting of Hill House thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, with like my spooky lights up and everything. So that was fun. And we ate all the sweets that I had purchased for the children because I live on a canal boat. There is no way that anybody was going to come trick or treating.
Me and Alan's faces are like, wow.
I, of course, had to buy loads of little Milshons just in case. Mm-hmm. Then, oh dear, nobody has stepped from the jetty onto the water, unzipped, you know, 1,000,000% trespassed, gone through the engine bay to knock on my door and ring my spooky doorbell. What a surprise. Oh no, I have to eat all of these sweets and watch spooky things. It was very exciting.
I live on a street and there's lots of kids on it. And they did call around last year and we gave them stuff. But this year I was like, I'm packing away. I'm moving at the moment. Who knows where I'm moving to? I'm on my own journey. And I just didn't buy anything because I was like, oh, fuck them. Like, I don't know these kids. So if they called around, I was just going to say, like, I'm moving. I'm busy. I don't have time for, like, worrying about your teeth. But it's really funny because two doors up from me are is these little kids and they were in a music video my boyfriend shot. And my housemate's like, oh, my God, do you remember those kids from the music video? And I was like, I don't care. I'm the worst, like, neighbor of children ever because I'm like, well, that's adorable. I'm like, oh, they're banging that ball again. I'm a bad Halloween person.
We had like two sets of children call to our house and I'm very bad at taunting the children. So it's like, here, I didn't even think to compliment their costumes or anything. I just gave them handfuls of stuff. With so much left. I cleared Aldi.
That's the dream. You get
Aldi
to
line
bring...
bars are as good as line bars.
Are they?
Yeah. Their Twixes aren't as good as real Twixes, but their
the
line bars
are little perfect. Twixes are good. Yeah. Like the little everything, like the fake, I don't know how you, like people get, people's stupid opinions like Bounty is the worst sweet in the celebrations. No, it's not. It's
no,
the best.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the fake Bounties out of Lidl are really good, but bit of a swizz. They had these like scary bags of mini Bounties or mini Mars bars or whatever. It's like, brilliant. Get loads of those. Totally festive. This is great. You open them and it's just the normal wrapping. I was disgusted. So like, what am I going to do? Just be like having the big bags that it looks spooky. They'd be like, yeah, sorry, like these are the scabby, like the cheapest sweets in the supermarket. This is how little I think of your costume efforts.
But like, but I kind of figure they all buy their costumes now. So why reward them? Like, there's no arts and crafts.
No, we had some good ones.
Did
they
you?
Had that proper like makeup that was done by parents and stuff. Yeah. And I had one, there was two groups of small kids and then one like 8-year-old on his own in a terrifying clown costume.
Aww.
So that was scary.
There was a few its. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, they shouldn't be watching it. I'm such a non-fun kid person. Me worrying about their teeth and they're, like, watching adults.
Kids are class. Kids.
Well, I'm really, I just think I'm just really super teachery about things in a bad way.
Yeah, I'm the uncle who buys books for my nephew. That's my job.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
That is the gift that keeps on giving.
That's what I say.
My uncle, who was also my godfather, every year, because, like, I was his godchild, I got an extra present, but he used to get myself and my brother a Disney VHS to share and he would get me a book. So I have like all of these amazing books like from when I was a kid that I still have from my uncle. The VHS is not so much.
No.
Can't play them anymore, but it was still a cool, yeah.
Actually, this movie didn't have any kids in it.
Yeah, there was zero children.
Which isn't like, it's unusual.
For, they're usually like there to be cutesy because it's a Christmas film.
Yeah, there's only at least one.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One thing I did find really nice in the movie was her mom kept trying to hang out with her.
And she kept blowing her off repeatedly. She was like, oh, let's blah, blah, blah.
Come to dinner.
Come to dinner and let's do this and let's do that. And her mom, I think, genuinely just wanted the best for her. But it was all, it was just the whole kind of reveal about her. Maybe I don't want to be a lawyer. Maybe I just want to sculpt ice. I just, the whole thing was so shoddy because her mum was like, oh, look, you passed the bar exam. This is amazing. Look, I got this cool plaque, which was like, whatever the surname was. There was two Parker instead of just Parker. Yeah. And her face just like, oh God. And her mom's like, what's wrong? She's like, I have to tell you something. And she goes down to where the ice sculpting thing is happening. And she's like, I've been sculpting ice. And mom's like, that's brilliant.
I'm delighted.
Okay, yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. She's like, I'm delighted for you. Like, this is brilliant. She goes, what is it? Is it that you don't want to be a lawyer? She's like, I always suspected this might be the case. And she's like, but why didn't you say anything? I just think, like, fair play to the mom's law firm. And I'm not quite sure what the dad does, but they're obviously absolutely minted if they can afford to put their daughter through 3 years, like tens and tens and tens of American dollars of college debt, and going, I think she actually just wants to fanny about with ice. I don't think she wants to be a lawyer, but listen, leave her off. It'll be good for her. And just like, they allowed you to think, and it's like, it's totally fine. If you want to sculpt ice, that's grand. Love it. But this film did have one of my favorite wrap ups of all time. It was so good. So they had the, so there's the whole thing, her mom literally says to her, all I want is for you to be happy, and your father feels the same. It's like, yeah, of course I feel the same. He's like, yeah, and they have a big hug. It's like, I feel like this could have been sorted out 3 years ago, to be like, listen, thanks for the opportunity for letting me go to law school, but I'm actually really interested in the sculpting thing. Mm-hmm. They would have been like, yeah, cool, thank you. We're going to go buy a boat now because you just saved us like the guts of $100,000. Thanks, pal.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so this is all happening. It's all lovely. And I'm kind of looking at the time that's left. There's a minute left. And I'm like, there's a few loose ends here. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? So in under a minute, okay, so minute left to go, you know, she's like, what are we got? I don't know. I know there's no future in ice sculpting, but I need to follow my heart. They're like, yes, follow your heart. Be happy. And then jolly Mr. Townsman comes in, goes, Emma, just to reiterate, if you ever decide you want to quit law, we could really use you on the town council. She goes, maybe I'll do that. Brilliant. She has a job offer. Everyone's happy. 43 seconds to go. We forgot about what's his chops over here with the weird fake brother. She's like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. It's like, oh, thanks, me too. And then at the very last, like, closing seconds, they go in for the smooch. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, wow, that wrapped up everything
and
under
a
minute.
Awful smooch as well.
It was, yeah.
It wasn't one of the better ones.
Oh. I don't think he is going to be around long term. I think you know, she's going to be like, actually, I'm just really into this ice sculpting thing and I don't want to hang out with you
summer,
anymore.
She'll get into like wood sculpturing and get a hot lumberjack.
Yeah.
But what'll happen to him is he'll be left there going, this keeps happening. And he'll end up moving to a tropical island where there's no ice and just never, like, any woman who ever like has a chisel or any sort of chisel shaped item in her hand, she'll be like, I'm out here. But yeah.
I thought what was interesting was Emma, I think, had high functioning anxiety or something. She was like, you know, she had everything together, but she was still really worried. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that representation of a woman.
I think that was probably because she was unnecessarily keeping secrets from her lovely mum, who just wants to hang out with her and just wants her to be happy. But she's like, no, I must hide everything from her for no reason. So weird.
What I did like was that it has that the classic line that you only really see in parodies now, but they used it like completely sincerely, that was your plan, mom, not mine. Which I loved.
God.
Oh, it was the romance. It was kind of like a Strictly romance where they know they're into each other, but they can't actually do it until they're finished their thing. You know, sometimes Strictly you'll see the couples are totally into each other, but they're not actually doing anything about it until they get knocked out or win.
Those fuckers.
Yeah, they broke the Strictly rules. You're supposed to wait till the end and then break up afterwards. Because when the girlfriend stops appearing in the audience, it's always awkward. It happened 2 years ago as well. The guy from when Carnation Street was on it, and she was dating a guy from Carnation Street, and he was like in the audience crying and giving her standing ovations every week, and then he was just gone in a week, and she was going out with her dancer.
Oh my God, rude.
Well, you know how I feel about public displays of congratulations to your partner. Just hold back on them because you never fucking know. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I've read a lot of short stories written by women in their 50s and 40s and like, put yourself first.
Like Emma, be more like Emma Parker and less like those Strictly audience clappers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I follow like this online guru. I have a few. And his name is Matthew Hussey. And I actually think he's class. He was in Dublin a couple of months ago for €40 and like I missed out on it. And when I told my mom, I was like, fuck, Matthew Hussey was in town because she reads the Daily Mail. She was like, genius, should have gone to that. And I was like, I know. But what did he do last night? He posted this thing and like he says the most simple, benign things. And I'm always like, oh my God, my life has changed. Like he says, when a guy sends you a message just out of the blue, love you, that's the laziest thing he can fucking do. Because it's like a few movements of his finger on the phone and suddenly you're in your head thinking, oh, he's great. When actually he did nothing but type love you. So yeah, this is why I am the way I am. But he had one of these things.
Had a soft one in the place. Yeah,
he had a tweet last night. Life rule. Always have something better to do than wait for a text back. Sorry, I just thought that was profound and I wanted to share that with everybody. But yeah, that's what I felt about, you know, public displays of like waiting for somebody and being like, oh, they're the reason all this has happened. And you're like, well, did they fund you? Did they do X, Y, Z? Or did they just like say, well done and make you tea? I sound a cruel person. Sorry. I've just been too Americanified for self-help books.
Back to the ending, right? Because you're right, it wraps up super quickly.
43 seconds.
That's quite common for these films. Hallmark films don't really have epilogues ever.
No.
It's normally the case is the very last thing that happens. There's never an after. It's just happily. And you never see the ever after, really ever. You don't see anything past the kiss, generally, I think.
No, it's like a Bollywood movie. With a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really see much. You know, like we don't know if they have kids, if they stay together. It's just assumed that everything's wrapped up, like that's happening.
Yeah, I think like by New Year's Eve, she's like, actually, this dude's weird. He invented a weird brother and he probably does exhibits all this other kind of weird behavior. So she probably gives him the flick.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully to go off to an art college and sculpt things apart from ice, because she was very good.
Or maybe she'll do arts management.
Yeah, she was very good at organizing things. Yeah, fair play to her. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Didn't she take a job in the town council?
Yeah, she's going to go work for with the jolly guy. Arts management degree. Yeah.
Fabulous. Okay, we have her sorted. Emma, you're going to be fine. We have this all.
Nick can move away.
Yeah. This is actually, it's only the second ever Hallmark movie that I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the first one was called Too Young to Be a Father. And I used to DJ like up and down the country a lot. And I had like some really far away regular gigs. So I would be coming home from Monaghan or something at like 4 or 5 in the morning, and you can't go sleep right away. So I was in the habit of like make a cup of tea, put on the telly in the background, have a cuddle with the dog, you know yourself. And it was just on one night and it looked like it had just started and it was so dramatic, and it was about this like teen dad and he was going to be a father and like the, you know, they were just like, no, she needs to just like give the baby up for adoption or whatever, and he's like, no, I'm going to stand by her. It was like 14 or something, but I was like, at some stage, somebody is going to hit the table and go, probably your man's dad, go, but God damn it, he's too young to be a father, and kind of look up into the middle distance. Like, it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. So I was like, I'm going to watch this whole thing. So like, made myself a snack, watched it. They never said the line. Missed opportunity, I think, but it all worked out in the end. Apparently, he was quite good at being a dad. So yeah.
There you go.
Oh, when you're 14, like, you don't have a job to go to.
No, that's true.
So, perfect time to be a father.
Hmm.
Maybe not.
Their sculpture wasn't actually very good, I thought. Or maybe they didn't come across well on camera. It looks like a giant house.
But, like, getting back to the bit where she raised 20 grand for the competition to go ahead, so they couldn't not let her win.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. The other sculptors seemed to be actual life sculptors as well. They didn't look like television people. They had, like, very scraggly beards and gloves and goggles, so they all seem real.
To be honest, I'd love to watch a live ice sculpture being made.
Yeah, when they like started, I'd say
it'd be satisfying to look at. You'd be like, oh, it's starting to take.
I'd like to watch one, a live one.
But it would be
at Winterville?
Maybe.
The what?
Would that be at Winterville?
Not live. They have them there, but not live. Yeah.
I'd say it'd be something like, you know, when the Olympics is on and there's all these weird sports that you never normally have any interest in, but then like, you know, half area and you're an absolute expert and you're like, oh God, that came out of that early, or you know, whatever. So I'd say if like you could watch live ice sculpting, all of a sudden you'd be like going, oh God, that corner's a bit too sharp now.
If they did it like Bake Off, where you do like a signature sculpture and a technical unseen one and then a showstopper.
Stop. Wow. Oh my God, please sell that as a show to some TV network. I would watch it.
I'm like, okay, let's copyright it, TM.
And also, like, it'd be really good for like a 3D television show.
Yeah.
Like, but then how do, I don't know how Trudy works. But I also thought, like, you could do a Hallmark movie next year based on Ipe's sculpture meets mannequin, where, like, the sculpture comes to life and it's like an ice princess or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be good or not. Will we do the bingo card?
Let's do the bingo card.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Okay, so in the show notes, if you go to the Headstuff website post for this episode, you will find the bingo card. And we're going to go through it one by one, see what we got. So, is there a precocious child in this film?
Emma is the precocious child, no?
Ah.
Good spin.
But there's no actual children.
No actual under 18
no
person.
No actual children in the movie.
Yeah,
do just, we give it or...
No, that no. doesn't count. That's a town of just childless people, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite sad.
This is Children of Men.
Yeah. They put all their love into ice
That's a
ice
great
cultures.
Film. Everyone should watch it.
Yeah. Is this film shot in Vancouver?
No.
Okay,
really?
This movie is shot in... Almonte, I believe, in Ontario. And they had a showing at the Mississippi Valley Textile Museum of the movie, because that features in the movie. Because remember, she goes to the textile museum to get inspiration.
Oh,
so yeah, it's not shot in Vancouver. It's shot in another part of Canada.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I was like, why is she repeatedly going into this museum just to get old photos or whatever? Yeah, yeah. So obviously they're like, you can film here, but, you know, we got to get some airtime. Mm-hmm.
Also, the IMDb show notes or the Goofs page or something says that the beginning of the movie pans across the town that's meant to be in America, but you see a Canadian flag. So,
gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, at the end, when they're having their big conversation heart to heart, there is so many clouds of breath flowing out of them. It's like they're just dragons having a family conversation. It's just huge, voluminous clouds of breaths coming out of all these people trying to have a heart.
They did shoot it in the springtime.
Really?
I think so.
Jesus.
Because I looked up the local paper and it was around February, March. So it would still be cold in Canada then. Hmm. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they, like, we'll have to talk to them to get the exact
truth.
We'll get
them on. Okay, so not Vancouver, that's two no's so far. Does the female lead have better lighting than everybody else?
Yes.
Does she, you think?
Her mom looked really well.
Yeah. There's a lot of outdoor shots in this one, so they couldn't really do too much
lighting. And her friend is like really eye-catching hair. Like, so I don't know if they did that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
maybe she just had really good skin. Now, I watched the stream that you sent me, which was a not the best quality YouTube stream. So yeah. Who am I to judge? But maybe she just has good skin. Maybe not better lighting.
Okay, best friend with no inner life.
Redhead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
And also, what was his name again?
Lonnie.
Yeah.
Also has no inner life.
Yes. Lonnie. They,
yeah. Wise Widower. Not in this one.
No. They're waiting for Godot, these people.
Yeah.
Wise Widower. Maybe ice sculpture man who they taught.
Which one?
Her father does give her a lot of sage advice. So I give that half a mark.
Okay, sure. Works in marketing.
No.
No, not yet.
But she will.
No alcohol. Nobody drinks in this movie.
Nobody drinks in this movie.
Yeah, okay, so that's one. We got one.
One.
A capitalist ex.
Did Tara ditch him for the big smoke to go off and
I think so,
be a professional,
yeah, we'll give it a one.
A real sculptor? Mm-hmm. Not that ice, sorry, don't want to be like offending any ice sculptors
permanent
listening.
Permanent sculptures.
Permanent sculptures. Yeah. Thank
motorway
you.
Motorway art.
Yeah. The protagonist loves Christmas.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
She's mad for it.
Carolers?
I don't think I saw
no
carolers.
Any
carolers in this one. A snowball fight.
No, see, no. Previous no children.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Horse-drawn carriage. No.
No horses, no children. What
That's
kind of world
one.
Is...
Yeah.
Maybe
this
ice is more expensive. Ice is more expensive maybe than we realise. That's where the 20 G's went. It went on like the blocks
the
of ice
budget. Yeah.
That were cryogenically frozen at high speed because the bunny only appeared on the morning of the festival.
Yeah. Our free space is really good Christmas decorations because they all have really good Christmas decorations. The office had some nice stuff.
The office was
festival
delightful.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody actually says roast chestnuts did not happen in this one, unfortunately. Canadian supporting actors.
Yes.
Yeah, loads of them. A snappy beret.
They did not have hats on. It really bothered me.
Yeah.
They repeatedly went outside with dragon breath and no hats, complaining about how cold it was.
Mm-hmm. So no to that one, Jesus. An awkward family dinner. Yes.
Yes.
Had that. Beautiful and possible hair.
I feel like the mum had, she got a blow dry every morning on her way to work or was just really good with a wand. Bless
the
her.
Mom, yeah. I looked up Noam because I was like, oh, she must have done like lots of TV movies and stuff. But no, like she looked like that sort of Danielle Steele actress type movie, but not really. She was in The Vow.
Okay.
With Channing Tatum and the woman in The Time Travels Rife. What's her name? Rachel.
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, and Rachel McAdams. But she hasn't done much. Like she's done a lot, but she hasn't done anything stand out. Because I was like, that hair, she's definitely done Danielle Steele, but I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm. Mild peril lasting no longer than 3 minutes.
Yes. The chainsaw.
Yes.
She almost wrecks the sculpture. She's like, I'm so sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, that was like, scary. That was maximum 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Obviously fake snow. I think that was all real snow.
I think it was all real snow.
I think it
might
have been
real.
Yeah.
A big empty apartment. She did have a big empty apartment.
Her house had a lot of space.
Yeah. Save the kiss till the very end of the movie.
43 seconds.
Yep. Mm-hmm. A work Christmas party. No, she works for her mother.
If she had gone to dinner with her mom one of the many, many times that her mom offered to spend time with her, then maybe it could have been a work Christmas party, but it was not.
And the secondary characters hook up? Yes.
Well, we don't know.
We see them shift.
Will we give it a half?
We see them kiss at some point.
Okay, well, we'll give it...
The secondary characters kiss? Do they?
Lonnie and the friend.
I think at this stage I went to go make tea because I was like, the music was just, it hadn't changed in a while, so I didn't know if anything bad was happening or whatever. Yeah. So,
and finally an inn. No inn in
no
this one.
There was no booze and no inns was all very...
This is actually quite an unconventional Christmas
film. Got a 10.5.
Yeah.
Points.
Interesting. Because it seemed quite by the numbers Hallmark, but it's actually missing a lot of stuff. So finally, did we actually like this film?
I liked this.
You did?
I liked this. I talked about passing the Bechdel test and I talked about, you know, the strong female lead. I have a bee in my bonnet at the moment and nobody agrees with me about it. This film was more feminist than A Star Is Born. A Star Is Born is terrible.
Lauren Heskin and Image.ie has a similar opinion, but
we need to swap numbers. I need to talk to this woman.
It's on line on Image.ie if you look up.
Here is the thing. So I don't really care about Bradley Cooper, but I was over the moon. Lady Gaga was back. I was like, Lady Gaga's back. This is amazing. Didn't realize that he directed it. Oh boy, did it make sense when that flashed up at the end of the screen. Let me tell you. So the previous incarnation, Barbara Streisand starred in and directed. Her character has agency. She makes her own decisions. She walks into everything that she's walking into. Okay, spoiler. Turn off if you haven't seen it. Okay. At one stage, there are so many consent issues in this film. So many. It's absolutely outrageous. She tells him flat out no. He sends his driver to sit outside her house and stalk her until she agrees to get on a plane and get hoofed across the world with him. One. That is just the start of it. Her big Whitney Houston moment at the end, he literally comes back from the dead to shove his face in it and do a duet with her from beyond the grave and ruin her big moment. The main issue I have with it, like, this is a perfect example of how her character has no agency whatsoever. And it's not that, oh, it's rehashing the original and it's close. No, because Barbara Streisand was in charge of the whole thing in her version. At one stage, he decides he wants to get married. He goes, he gets a guitar string, he makes a wedding ring, he shoves it onto her finger in front of a table full of people and they start going, I'll call the church, I'll get a dress, blah blah blah. She literally doesn't open her mouth. There's a wedding getting ready montage and the next thing she's at the altar looking really shook, to be honest, and she goes, I do. That's not okay. That's not a good message to send to people.
I loved A Star Is Born. I went to see it twice. And I thought in terms of addiction, alcoholism and depression, I thought it was really, really good. And I love The Star Is Born from 1937. I'm not a huge fan of the Barbara one, which friends are going to give out to me for this. But the original, it's not the original. There was one called What Price Hollywood before that. But the 1937 one with Janet Gaynor and Frederick March has a really sad ending. And it's, I really liked it. I know, but you see, I'm one of these people, like, if someone says to me, that's not feminist, that movie's not feminist, I'm like, all right. I go see Mark Wahlberg movies.
So I
consume a lot of different things.
I just kind of thought it was unnecessary. It just had this thing of Bradley Cooper just waving his willy all over the script. It was very, very close. He also like overcooked all of the like subtle references from the Kris Kristofferson Barbara one. There's like a thing with her nose and there's a few different things and he totally overcooks them. And yeah, he's a good singer or whatever and Lady Gaga is amazing in it. But I just thought...
He's not a great singer when you listen to the soundtrack in isolation from the film though, because I went home and listened to it and I was like, oh, Bradley.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I'm sure he had some, help or whatever. She's stunning. But I just kind of thought, I was just watching it going like, I am here with my bucket of popcorn to watch this popcorn movie and enjoy Lady Gaga singing songs. I'm not here like to be a big movie critic person because I'm not at all. But I was just, to me, it was so glaringly offensive. I was just kind of thinking, you know, when you look online, you're like, does anyone else pick up on this?
There's a few emerging op-eds on that. Okay. That we're reading,
but I will have a nice Google, because I was like, am I going crazy here? Am I the only person who's like, you know? But yeah, no, I just thought that, and even like the character, like...
Did you like La La Land?
I hated every second of La La Land.
She chooses her career in the end of that one now.
Does she? Because I think I was struggling to keep my eyes open by the end of it. I was like, I've committed to this. I'm going to slog through.
It was a slog.
I love Ryan Gosling, not particularly for his acting roles. It's just this. We could do a whole separate podcast on Ryan Gosling's weirdness and the weird things that he does as a person. He's amazing. But I found it so, I was just like, oh God. Like,
But I kind of think that the music industry and stuff, like, it should be portrayed as shitty in movies.
Yeah, it should. Like, but I just thought it was an extra unnecessary thing. Like, actually, I thought Kris Kristofferson's, whatever the character's name is, was more of a shit, but at least he owned his shittiness. He was like, I'm an asshole. I'm an alcoholic, but I'm an asshole as well. And he tries to get her to go away, whereas this guy's just like, hey, I'm Bradley Cooper. Come on over here. You don't get a say in it. Just get in the car there. And I didn't like it. It bothered me. But Lady Gaga was fantastic. What else can we give out about?
Well,
Jean, what's your negative film?
I wouldn't watch it again. I wasn't. Your man really. I just don't think you should make up fictitious siblings.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of liars. Like, there's okay exaggerating and things like that, but I think that shit. Like, if you lie about your family, you've got some issues, and I'm not into that. Maybe that's why I like The Star Is Born. He's very honest about his family. I don't know. I like people who are open about family stuff, because I think it's healthier for society. And I just don't, I didn't like Nick. Nick creeped the fuck out of me. So I liked her though. I thought she was cool. Again, needless subterfuge, but yeah, good. It was grand.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch this one, I don't think. It's on YouTube though.
Yeah, I thought this was a grand one. There was all the stakes, everything got resolved way too quickly.
See, the mistletoe in
for anything
was so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to top that this year.
That's true. It was a very good one.
Oh, yeah.
Do you, either of you, have an all-time favourite Christmas movie?
Family Stone is one I watch a lot.
Really?
And I watch Little Women too. So the Winona Ryder one. Mm. I don't think we need a remake of Little Women. Just Winona Ryder and Gabriel O'Byrne. And who was Christian Bale?
Do you know, I don't think I've ever seen the film. I've
read
the
really
book
good.
So many times. Like, even as an adult, I've reread that book like in the last
couple
of years.
The 90s film is really good.
Oh, I
watched it for Juvenalia. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
What's your ultimate Christmas film?
You see, I'm going to sound like such a dope, because you're like, oh, Little Women and all these cool films. So my joint favourite Christmas film is Santa Claus the Movie, because there's the real Santa in it, as you all know, the end credit Santa as himself. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen all of that. I need to watch that this
year. Oh my God, it's
so good. I used to watch the Family Vacations movies when I was younger. They were
great. Christmas Vacation, it is fantastic. This highly quotable. So many good lines in it. Like, it's gas.
Isn't Chevy Chase still problematic now?
He's just not a very nice man.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. He's just not nice as a person.
Yeah.
So I think he's okay, but just not great as a as a person.
What about you, Alan? Do you have a favourite?
Mine are the stupid man ones. I love Gremlins.
Gremlins is great.
Or Die Hard.
Yeah, I do love Die Hard. I know it's really good. Controversial. As a Christmas
Batman film. Returns is so good as well.
Yeah.
I preferred those two Batmans to any of the others. I like Batman. What was the third?
Batman
Christopher.
Forever.
No, the third Christopher Nolan one.
Oh, The Dark Knight Rises.
I like that one. I've watched that one.
The Bane one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's so shit. Like, everyone's like, these are incredible films. And I'm like, it's the same ending as the Da Vinci Code prequel, the one set in the Vatican, where he goes up into the air to defuse a nuclear bomb. And I was like, Dan Brown did this. And everyone there in the cinema like, wow, Christopher Nolan. And I'm like, Dan Brown did this. So I love that Batman movie, but like, for the wrong reasons. But the first two Batman movies, I think, qualify as kind of atmospheric Christmassy.
Yeah. I see that.
Watch Batman Returns this Christmas, everyone.
Does
really
Mean
good.
Girls qualify as a Christmas film? There is a Christmas scene in it.
It kind of does, because I think once you have a Santa hat and something,
yeah,
That's... Also, you get to see someone getting kicked in the face with a CD player during Jingle Bell Rock. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's the season wrapped up.
Yeah. So, Claire, do you have anything to plug?
Do I have anything to plug?
Yeah.
I suppose maybe you could give me an L follow online. My handle is, let me just double check it. So on Instagram, I am Clairis Beckis. So mm-hmm. it's ClairisBeckis. And on Twitter, it's at ClaireBeck1052. And yeah, we'll have some gigs coming up and stuff. I don't like plugging specific gigs on podcasts because you never know when people are going to listen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be putting up some new mixes and stuff online.
Cool.
And plugging my gigs on there. So
yeah.
Thank you for having me. This was loads of fun. I'm very festive now. I'm going to have to go get some eggnog or something.
Yeah. Jean, what do you got?
I've got my newsletter. So yes. If you sign up, it's going to be in the show notes. It's a Substack. Mm-hmm. You can get it for free. Or if you pay, you get more. You get more me. What a bargain. What about you, Alan? What are you plugging?
I'm going to plug Juvenalia, which is the other podcast I host on the Heads Up Podcast Network with Sarah Maria Griffin and Alan Tanner, where we talk to an interesting person about a bit of pop culture that was important to them when they were young. And Claire has been on the show.
Yes,
she talks about Rapper's Delight. It's one of her most popular episodes. People loved it. Yeah, it was really good.
Okay.
So check out that one. Jean, do you have a charity you want to talk about?
Did I do Homeless Period Dublin? Did I do that one?
Don't think so. Do it again.
Yeah, well, we can always record in the next one as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It is a charity run by volunteers, completely voluntary. It's called Homeless Period Ireland, and it tackles period poverty. So some women can't afford sanitary products, or they mightn't be in a position to have them. So if you look at homeless women, people in direct provision, and it's across the world, if you Google period poverty, girls are kept out of school and stuff. So they have drop-off points in Dublin and maybe outside of Dublin as well, if you go on their Instagram or social media. So you can drop in sanitary products, and I think Tropical Popical have a point as well. And just go into the shop, drop it in. They don't take cash donations at this stage, and they will disperse them to women who need them, or women can come and collect them from their points. So yeah, it's a really vital charity. And yeah, and people talk about moon cups and stuff. Just to explain this, you need sanitary conditions to use a moon cup. So I know everyone's being eco-conscious after all those reports, but like, stop forcing that on people who don't have the capacity to wash their moon cup all the time. Just wanted to get that out there.
There we go. We'll just do some quick thank yous as well. Thank you to the Heads Up Podcast Network for having us. Thank you to Brian for producing us. Thank you to Dee McDonald for her artwork. Dan McCauley for the music. And thank you again to Claire Beck for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me,
guys. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
HPN, the Headstuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.